Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Staring at the blank page before you, open up the dirty window, let the sun illuminate the words that you could not find. Reaching for something in the distance, so close you can almost taste.
Oh, this makes me sad though, because this was Jared Jones's walkout song.
That's right.
He'd walk out there, be warming up. You got Natasha just banging one out in the background. Or I guess belting one out in the background. Fan Morning Show is brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. We're just playing bangers coming back all morning long.
Yep. You gotta stick to the show though. You. Because I know that you'll get into it. You'll start rocking and rolling. And before you know it, the second will be over.
That's right.
You'll think you'll be good?
I'm already distracted. Now I'm thinking about Jared Jones's elbow.
Right.
I don't want to be thinking about Jared Jones's elbow.
No.
Although, Starkey yesterday, he started the show because it was the halfway point in the Pirates season. We should probably do some of that later on in our program. I think Pap would participate in that.
Yeah.
Most valuable player, least valuable player, biggest disappointment, all that fun stuff. And Starkey made the argument that this is, or has been, the most disappointing first half of a season, arguably, in Pittsburgh sports history. When you really take everything into account, Spencer Horwitz, their big acquisition in the offseason, chronic hand injury. Their other acquisition was Tommy Pham, so that's been disastrous, and he got into it with fans in Los Angeles. Jared Jones, your number two starter, he's out for the season. Nick Gonzalez, who looks outstanding right now, he hits a home run, he's rounding first base, and his leg is broken.
Uh-huh.
Right at the beginning of the year. You've got the Clemente issue on the outfield wall. You've got the Bucko bricks. You've got the fan falling from the Clemente wall.
The employee who whipped the guy with the belt.
Which is a sentence that makes me laugh every time.
Me too.
Remember that time a Pirates team employee beat another fan with a belt? Because the fan was spitting blood at him. You fired the manager. And, oh yeah, by the way, you've got one of the worst 4 records in all of Major League Baseball. He makes a pretty compelling case. O'Neill Cruz hitting well below the Mendoza line since May 1st. Your $100 million player hitting below 700 in terms of his OPS. David Bednar had to be sent down to the minor leagues, although he's turned it around. You can absolutely make the argument that this is one of the worst half seasons in Pittsburgh sports history. Like, even when the Steelers started out real bad a couple of years ago when they went to Kenny Pickett, they wound up finishing with a winning record. And had they not, I don't think anybody would have been upset with the Steelers. I remember putting out a video at the time, back with the old show, Doran. It might be the best thing for them to finish with a losing record. Gets Tomlin off his high horse, they get a better draft pick, and they weren't going to contend for anything. They got a rookie quarterback, no big deal. But then they turned it around. I can't even think of one off the top of my head. I mean, the Penguins, I guess, they won the cup in 08, and then 09, they came out and they were like 10th or 11th in the league, and then they fired the coach. But then they wound up winning the Stanley Cup. And in hockey, that happens seemingly all the time. Can't think of one.
I mean, I can think of a reverse. Obviously, Pitt football last year.
When was their last win? October.
Yep.
They got hurt. But yeah, the second half, no good.
I mean, you start 7-0 and lose every single game.
I was trying to be nice.
I know, but
I was trying not to pile on.
Oh, yeah, it was tough.
Speaking of Pitt, Pat Bostic walking in right now. Someone texts in, please, guys, come back with the beginning of Faceless by Godsmack. I used to like Godsmack back in the day.
I'd have to hear a song. Probably liked it.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with it, but I'm sure if we heard it, we would know. Fuel by Metallica. When I'm thinking bangers, though, I'm not thinking a hard-driving rock. I'm thinking female vocals.
Yeah, like feel-good, in-the-feels type song.
Yes.
That can get you almost motivated, but at the same time, you're emotional, but at the same time, you're in love.
That song from Stranger Things, Running Up That Hill.
That's a good one.
Absolute banger, Kate Bush.
That was a one-hit wonder until that point.
I had never heard that song.
Never heard it.
Until those kids were running around and trying to kill monsters.
Imagine that. You come out with a song in like 1988. It's a one-hit wonder. You probably did well for about a couple months. And then you fade away until like 2022. And then the song appears again in a TV show that's based off being in the 80s. And then it's the top of the bill. It's the top song again. Like, she's probably getting I forget who the lady is, but she's probably getting royalties. Because of Stranger Things.
I was just looking that up, what her net worth is. It's now $2.3 million. So, I mean, that's nice. I wish I was worth $2.3 million.
You're just sitting there.
Maybe if I got liquid, I could be. I don't think so.
Wonder what it was before that.
I'm trying to look that up. If you could effort that information, Kate Bush and what she was worth before versus what she's worth now and turned on.
I mean, I would say that she probably made a cool $1 million just because of Stranger Things.
Had to have.
And just sitting there, there's no way probably in her mind that her song would ever do anything.
No,
ever.
They
clearly. It's been 36 years.
She's 66 now. Hello, Pat.
Hi, Pat.
You guys are talking about like 80s songs and Eric Estrada's on TV from Chips.
Chips.
Our show has never been older.
So you guys are talking about like motivating songs? Is that what it is?
I think we've identified them as bangers.
Bangers.
And you know them when you hear them.
When I think of bangers, I think of like Lil Jon and the East Side Boys or stuff like that. Like that's...
He's going to be here next week.
I know.
Tacos and Tequila.
Yep.
Correct. I got one for you. Bad Company.
Yeah. That is... Song. Africa by Toto.
Great song. Highly underrated song.
I think it's rated now.
Yeah, it is. Right Now by Van Halen.
That fits. I do feel like we're kind of going for like an 80s sort of theme here.
Yeah, nostalgic.
Yeah, nostalgic.
I was listening to you guys driving in, and I was like getting vibes.
It's a great way to wake up on a Thursday morning in the summertime.
It truly is.
And you texted me last night. You're like, what are you thinking about the show rundown? I said nonsense and Aaron Rodgers and goofiness.
I just wanted to see if it was going to be any different than the weeks past, but apparently not.
We were really going to get down to it. We were gonna be like NPR today. Just straight nuts, bolts, and facts. Why didn't you text Doran either,
by the
way? Because he wasn't going to reply?
Probably.
Nice.
He was doing drills with his kids in the backyard. I didn't want to interrupt.
Do you have one of those parachutes?
It was Buddy Morris in his backyard with his kids.
They're all
having them pull sleds. And
they got pink shirts, Pat.
Puke into a trash can.
I make them wear pink shirts.
Do they ever puke? You push them hard?
No, they're in insane shape. It's like, I'm jealous.
Actually. Yeah.
Like, I try to go hard and they just
push them
like,
harder, they probably puke.
Yeah, why are you so soft on your kids, Dory? Jeez. Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. All right, last one here for now. Zombie by the Cranberries. I'll tell you what, that song doesn't do it for me.
See, I have to hear the song.
Zombie, hey. Never going to give you up on Rick Astley.
That is an awful rendition.
What are you talking about?
I have no idea.
Here's one for you. Jesse's Girl.
Yes.
Great song.
Jesse's Girl.
Yeah, it's a great song. You know what was a big high school football locker room was
Billie
Jean by Michael Jackson.
That's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
I like that.
Great song.
I like that. Michael Jackson passed away, 16 years ago yesterday?
That's sort of what got us onto this.
Wow.
Yeah, that's what got us onto this, yeah.
Is it? Uh-huh. Did not know that, but just brought it up. That's crazy how that works.
Wrecking Ball by Hannah Montana, pretty good.
Hannah Montana.
I couldn't remember her real name.
Miley.
Miley Cyrus.
Miley Cyrus.
Thank you. Fly Away, Nelly Furtado.
Nelly Furtado.
You don't like Nelly Furtado?
I do. It's a good song, yeah.
I always thought Nelly and Nelly Furtado were the same thing.
Mm.
But then you listen
Nelly,
to the music and not.
Saint
Ride
Lunatics.
With Me.
All those songs.
St. Louis.
Oh, yeah. All those songs were good.
From Nelly?
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Country Grammar.
Hot in
yep.
Here?
Yep.
Yep. That's the best
middle
school for
You know
us.
What made me really feel old? Yesterday I was listening to something, and it was like Jeezy Radio, and it was like 2006 was my album. That's like something like 19 years ago.
Jeez.
That makes me feel old.
You ever just go back and listen to like an old playlist from your high school and college days?
Yeah.
Like just a high school mashup? It brings you right back.
Pop up LimeWire real quick.
Yep.
Pull out the burnt CD.
Napster. BearShare.
You know what else made me feel old, Dorn? Yesterday was like EJ's little going away deal. Internal at the
Borghetti.
At Borghetti.
For those EJ. Of you who are uninitiated.
He's just two initials and everyone knows who he is.
I thought so.
And then I realized that I met EJ when I was 17.
Yep. Yep.
And I'm now 36.
Yep. Would you consider him a second dad?
More of a brother.
Yep. Uncle.
I put so much pressure on you there.
Yeah. Not really, actually. But yeah, he's more of a brother.
Like an older brother.
Yeah, he is.
Like, you know, the brother that would come back from college and I was like
brother, eight. Hype guy.
Yeah.
Never says a negative word about anybody.
No, he texts us all the time and compliments the show, so you know he has to be overly positive.
We've known EJ for over 20 years. It's crazy.
He's a diplomat.
Great man.
He's a great man.
Texter, Pat Benatar, We Belong to the Night.
Oh, man.
Damn friggin' right, Texter.
Yes, this is
a good theme today.
This is just getting me in a good mood.
It's a great theme. So what are we coming back with next segment?
You're going to have to wait and see.
Oh, I love it, intern nice. Dom. All right, coming up next.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Yes. Yes.
Thorin, Thorin. When it hits the beat, you can punch Crowley in the face. Such a good movie.
Unfortunately, I always associate this with Ray Lewis, because he said he used to listen to it.
Really?
Yeah.
I associate it with Mike Tyson and
Hangover.
The Hangover.
Yeah.
You know what? Now I do, too.
Like, hold on. This is
my favorite part.
This is it right here.
Modern-day classic comedy. Hangover. We don't make them that way anymore, I don't think.
Another example, too, of how sequels just don't work.
Yep.
I thought the second one was fine.
It was fine.
It was.
It's never good. It's always fine. It's either terrible or just fine.
Then the third one was just bad.
Bad.
Yeah.
Bad.
You're just trying too
hard.
They tried
to go back to Vegas.
Like, I mean, how irresponsible can you be?
Right.
Someone needs to step in. One of the wives, even one of the children at that point, step in. These men are lost, clearly.
It's one of my favorite things to do in life is just randomly blurt out movie lines.
Yeah.
And see if people get it. So good. Rain Man.
It's great.
So good. I love that song. Phil Collins.
I'll be a Doug. Do that all the time. All right, let's play some Aaron Rodgers. I'm too easily distracted by the music.
See?
But it's okay. It's June. So we can talk sports. We will talk sports. We've been talking sports, but we'll mix in some fun. Aaron Rodgers on the Pat McAfee Show.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure this is it. You know, that's why we just did a one-year deal. Steelers didn't need to, you know, put any extra years on that or anything. So, you know, this was really about finishing with a lot of love and fun and peace for the career that I've had. I mean, I played 20 freaking years. You know, like, it's been a long run, and I've enjoyed it. And what better place to finish than in one of the cornerstone franchises of the NFL with Mike Tomlin and a great group of leadership and great guys in the city that, you know, expects you to win.
All right, Pat Bostic, did you find Rodgers to be sincere?
Yeah, absolutely. I did. I think he seems pretty grounded this time around and almost like Zen.
Yeah.
Like he's super...
Love, fun, and peace, he said.
Yeah, he's like, seems to be very grounded and kind of where his feet are. I appreciate that about him. He does seems a little ticked off about some of the media coverage too, which I understand too. I can't imagine being followed around and pounded.
We didn't talk about that much yesterday, about him talking about his marriage and how he's going to recede from the public light whenever he does retire. And then a lot of people hit him with, really? You did a documentary? Really? You sign up to go on with Pat McAfee all the time? You air your grievances publicly all the time? There's media attention that you bring upon yourself He's getting paid over $1 million to go on with Pat McAfee.
Mm-hmm.
You know he got a big bag to do the Netflix thing.
Absolutely.
And I think the Netflix thing, if you watched it, and I think people should watch it, particularly if you're a Steelers fan, I think he was trying to dismiss some of the preconceived notions about him. I thought he was trying to do a reclamation project for his career, or if anything else, just to explain where he was coming from on things. And if you can't listen to him talking about that and separate those things from, oh, we need to know who Aaron Rodgers' wife is, I think you're just out to get the guy.
Yeah.
He doesn't need to make his wife public. Who cares? He doesn't want his wife to be getting hounded by paparazzi the way that he does. And I think that's a reasonable request. If he wants to keep that part of his life private, good for him.
Yeah, I mean, the chances that it stays private forever are very minimal. But in the early stages, he's had relationships go the other direction. I you know, and he's different. Like, he's just a very unique personality. I think when you sign up and you sign a contract to put yourself in the public eye as both a football player or a personality on Pat McAfee's show or Netflix, you're offering yourself. But when you're walking the streets or on the beach, man, like, mm-hmm. you got people hiding. And I understand that's part of being a celebrity. He gets well compensated to deal with that off the field. But I think it's crossed the line at certain points, too. And they're not. No one's entitled to know anything about his personal life.
Joe Burrow said he hates it. Nope. He hates that part of it.
A lot of people do. It's just, you know, that's the kind of the cross you bear when you're a multi-million dollar athlete and public figure. But I found him to be incredibly sincere and honest. And I think if I'm a Steeler fan, I feel good about where his mindset is. Someone that wants to come into this season and throw it all out there one last time and see what happens. Now, if he goes and plays well, I'm not beyond thinking he couldn't reconsider playing more.
He left it open-ended just
enough.
He did,
a little bit.
I'm pretty sure this is it, right? And I'm not going to read into every word he said. But feel pretty darn good about where his head's at coming into this season. And physically, too, I think he looks better than he's looked. People have said he's in the best shape of his life. So that's good to hear.
Well, I mean, this is a simple case of, you know, Aaron Rodgers is a simple case of, I don't agree with your views, so you're a bad person.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think that's really what it is. Like, that's all he is. I don't agree with what you do. I don't agree with your political stance. I don't agree with what you say, so now you're a bad person. Said it a million times. There's not one person that's legitimate that's ever been around Aaron Rodgers that's really said anything bad. We talked about it yesterday with Garrett Wilson. He's a young player. Garrett Wilson probably wasn't willing to, you know, get on the level that Aaron Rodgers expects his players to be on, and there probably was friction. But as a person and as a teammate, you never heard anything from anybody.
Aditi yeah. talked about it yesterday with Mulsey that, I mean, she's been in and out of these locker rooms for years. And she said, not only do his teammates not dislike him, his teammates seemingly love Aaron Rodgers for the most part. So it's not even just, oh, we tolerate this weirdo hippie guy who's going to do ayahuasca and go to Egypt. It's, no, we want to go into battle with this dude. And I know some reasonable people have criticized the way that he played quarterback last year, but, you know, Starkey said I put up a straw man when I brought this up yesterday. I don't think this is a straw man at all, and you guys can correct me if I'm wrong. I think most of the discourse around Rodgers hasn't been, oh, he's too old to play football. It's, well, he might be too old to play football, but he's a massive circus and a distraction. Even at the Five Alarm Marathon, Josh Miller said he's the most distracted person in the NFL playing the most important position. I'm not seeing that at all from him right now.
Yeah, I mean, because of his unique person, this is how the media works, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're going to report on what's unique, what's different, what's going to sell. And Aaron Rodgers gets $1 million to go on Pat McAfee because he's different. If he was Peyton Manning or just like everybody else, he wouldn't have carved out the niche he has in the public discourse. To say he's distracted, I think maybe he has been distracted up until this point. I can only imagine what a distraction the New York Jets organization would be. That doesn't get talked about enough, guys. That organization is devoid of common sense. They rival Cleveland in so many ways, and their ownership's been terrible, and they had a terrible offense outside of him, and you're expecting him to go in there and, you know, conjure up the great days of Green Bay there with the 32nd ranked rush offense in the NFL and no offensive line to speak of and a malcontent at receiver?
The Steelers ran it 150 more times last season than the Packers did.
You mean the Jets?
Jets.
Than the Jets did, excuse me, yes.
Yeah, I mean...
Which so is going to help.
And you got Breece Hall. Like, they got right. good players and they can't do anything. You got good players and you can't do anything because they've been so inept with how they've structured that organization. So now he comes to a place that he appreciates it. I think he probably thought he could go to New York and make it work. He always seemed to think he can be part of the solution, but it didn't. And listen, everybody's distracted to some degree. You're dealing with things in your life. You're human beings. He happens to be incredibly forward with those things, and it happens to get reported upon a lot because he is highly unique. Ayahuasca, darkness retreats, all that stuff. Nobody else does that stuff. So people love to read about it and hear about it. It doesn't necessarily mean he can't be a good player. And again, I challenge anybody, and I've done this like five times just for the heck of it. Watch every one of his 28 touchdowns last year and tell me what Steelers quarterback since Ben Roethlisberger makes half those throws. Watch them. Because, mind you, most of them are like 3rd and 9
because
they can't run the ball. He's running around. He's 40 years old, and he's making plays that not many people can make in the NFL. I know I said 40 years old.
I gave Doran a wink there. How about that?
I saw your wink. Do it. Watch all of his touchdowns and tell me you don't get excited about how he could play with DK Metcalf, Pat Freiermuth, and company. And tell me you can't get excited. Because if you say you can't, based on those 28 plays, you're lying to yourself.
And, you know, a lot of people will blame him for what happened with the Jets. Because
he stunk before he got there.
They did, and he handpicked guys. And I do think there's room for criticism there, but they let him.
If people let you do what you want, you're going to do what you want. They're like, okay, you can bring in Nate Hackett. You can bring in, you know, some of your other guys. Like, you can do what you want. This is your offense. Okay. Like, what, he's going to say no?
And that's why I think it's going to work here, because he's just going to play quarterback.
Right, and they're not going to let him do that.
Yeah, they're putting him, like, not in a box, but they're putting him in more of a
structure.
And the other thing, too, is look at Brett Favre. I mean, their careers mirror each other in so many ways. Goes to New York. They have some moments. He gets hurt. It's mostly a train wreck, right? And then where's he go?
Minnesota.
And what happens?
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
Yeah. I mean, and I think at this point in his career, Aaron Rodgers is in better physical condition than Brett was at that point.
I'm sure you could look at Brett Favre's tape from, what was it, 2008, and go...
He's my favorite player of all time.
He's finished. And then he goes to...
And then he goes 2009.
And I think he was like 38-5 or something, or 34-5 in terms of touchdown and interception rate. He was unbelievably
They had Adrian Peterson, sure, which helped. But, you know, he wasn't throwing to Jordan Addison and Justin Jefferson either. He's throwing to like Percy Harvin and guys that were later in their career that turned into great players.
Sidney Rice
was a really good player for them, but he wasn't a top ten. He wasn't a top ten receiver in the NFL. So, yeah, I think Crowley. I think you hit the nail on the head, 1,000%. Doran, you too. He has some takes that irk people, and we live in a society where you want to blanket somebody as a bad person based on something you disagree with.
Yep.
And until you get to know him, which not many people do, you really don't know. And I don't know him. I know people that know him,
mm-hmm,
and they don't say bad things about him. I have changed my perspective on him a little bit because I thought he was a bit of... I kind of bought into a lot of the hype of him being weird, and which he is. But I've heard nothing but positive things as this courtship has continued and ultimately materialized.
What I've decided to do is I'm not going to cast stones for things that he did while he wasn't here. Let's see how it goes here. And I'm going to give him some benefit of the doubt, and I'm going to let him write his story here. That Vikings team... Doran, what a pull. What a pull. Sidney Rice.
Was he number 17 or 18?
He was...
I don't have that information. But what I do have is he had 83 catches for 1,300 yards and 8 touchdowns that year. Do you guys want to guess who their tight end was? One of the great names of all time.
Tight ends.
They had actually two great tight end names. One of them wasn't all that productive. The other had a decent season. A great season, actually, in terms of touchdowns.
Oh, man. Who was their tight end that year?
Who was it? Say it.
Vincente Shenko.
Yeah, Shenko.
He was pretty good. I think like one of the best tight end names or names of all time, football names, is Algie Crumpler.
I was going to Algie Crumpler in my mind, and Brett went into Green Bay and torched them.
Their other was Jim Klessenasser. Barely know her. Shanko had 11 touchdowns that year.
Did he really?
Mm-hmm.
Asante Shanko.
They had some great names on this team. Their starting right tackle was Phil Lodeholt.
Jared Allen was on that team, right?
The end? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He made the all-quarter-century team for ESPN. That's another weird guy. He spent like 99% of his time away from the facility just sitting in a tree stand hunting. Cool
man,
dude.
Whatever you got to do.
Chad Greenway.
Chad Greenway, the linebacker. Man. The corner was the kid. His son plays now, I think.
Antoine Winfield.
Yes.
Didn't he get into trouble? Bad trouble?
I don't know.
I'll look that up.
I don't think so.
If he did, you won't hear any more about it. There are two wide receivers, Bernard Berrien and Sidney Rice, Dorn. Look at you.
Percy Harvin played on that team,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, Percy Harvin was a rookie.
Greg, he was a receiver coach at Pitt under Paul Chris for a year.
Rudolph?
No, that's Joe. Joe was a tight ends coach. Receiver coach, Greg, played for Philly, played for them, too. He had a big catch in a game for Minnesota that year. I remember it vividly. I'll get it. I actually know the guy. This is bad.
Greg.
You know the guy.
You know him?
Yeah, I've met him.
He played, but a receiver?
Yeah.
He played receiver?
Yeah.
For Minnesota. Greg.
Lewis.
Greg Lewis. He was on that team, right?
Played 16 games, baby.
Yeah, Greg Lewis. I always get him confused with Greg Jennings, who they also played with in.
Jennings.
Good player.
Phil Lodeholt.
That's your favorite?
Who was their head coach?
It was Brad Childress.
Oh, my
That's
God.
Right. That's right.
How about that poll?
That's a good one.
Is he still with us?
Yes.
Okay, good.
He's still with us. Chances are, if you said he wasn't, he'd probably be dead. Yeah, Brad Childress, he's doing well. He always says this stuff.
It's opposite.
Dead.
We went through a whole entire list of people Dom did earlier.
Crowley's inadvertently killed people on this show, not even knowing it.
What a staff that was. Just real quick, and I know we're doing a thing here, but Daryl Bevel was the offensive coordinator.
Yep.
Leslie Frazier, the DC.
Yep.
Eric Bieniemy, the running backs coach on that staff. Kevin Stefanski, assistant quarterbacks coach.
Yep.
Joe Woods, DB coach. How about that, baby? All right, coming up next, Mel Kiper came out with his number one quarterback in the 2026 draft class. It's early, subject to change.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Change.
But since you've been gone, I can't breathe for the first time. I'm
Kelly Clarkson.
It's another great comedy.
Oh, yeah.
40-Year-Old Virgin starring Austin Bechtold.
Wow.
Oh, shots fired.
Wow. We love you, Austin. I'm just kidding, buddy.
Wow.
I mean, I don't have any knowledge.
That is just a total...
Uncalled for shot.
I do it on behalf of the other producers. There seems to be some friction between all of them. I think they all personally like each other, but get professionally jealous. And so Austin used to be our guy, and now he's Joe's guy.
Oh, I got one for you. Where's this song at?
A banger?
Well, I take this opportunity to wish my wife a happy 13th anniversary on Monday.
Wow.
Nice.
13th wedding. There was a song played at our wedding. Oh, man, I got to find this.
You don't know what it's called?
Call Me Maybe by Carly Rae Jepsen.
That wasn't your wedding song.
They played it 38,000 times at our wedding.
I think she was Canadian.
It was 115 degrees outside in the middle of farm country. We either played Neil Diamond, and then this came on. And it was just like, man, it was good like the first 15 times.
Yes.
I feel like I heard that song a lot.
Yes.
Whenever it came out.
And then they just said, enough.
Yeah, it just.
I think that's what's going to happen to Pink Pony Club too. We're right on that line. Where we're playing Pink Pony Club a little too much.
Okay.
Great tune.
Yeah.
Be careful there. Be careful.
By the way, the producers get along just fine. Just for the record.
Well, then I take back my insult.
But based on what I see on X, I don't know about that.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, that's because your full time guy likes to stir the pot.
See, now you're firing shots at him.
That's not a shot at all.
Bechtold, you're saying he's stirring a pot, which is what
Bechtold's
you would think would be
time,
food.
Right?
You're calling him fat.
Bechtold's full time.
Get out of here.
Yeah, he's stirring the pot.
Stirring that pot. Why? Because he's bigger? Why would you say that?
Yeah. Why the food connotation?
Rude.
Man.
So Mel Kiper came out with his number one ranked quarterback for the 2026 draft. And we're going to be monitoring this off and on, even during the offseason, because the Steelers will be in the market for a quarterback next year in the first round. And it's great that Rodgers said, yeah, this will be it. And it's a one-year deal, so you don't even have to consider, wow, did we, I mean, I guess if you get close this year, you can maybe consider some other options. But I think you're drafting one either way. Mel Kiper and Matt Miller from ESPN, who we've had on, Matt Miller's really good, say Cade Klubnik is their number one quarterback. Now, you guys saw him up close and personal firsthand last year against Pitt. What do you guys think about this dude?
I thought he got a lot better last year throwing the ball. He's incredibly athletic. He's going to be on one of the better teams Clemson's had in the last probably 5 years, honestly.
They're loaded, aren't
they? They're loaded. They've started to utilize the transfer portal a little bit. They've continued to recruit at a high level. I look at it this way. And again, I've been not skeptical. I've been slow to jump on the bandwagon of this draft class because the two guys that both Miller and Kiper have in the top two are the most proven by far. Klubnik and Nussmeier. By far.
LSU's quarterback.
They're the most proven. Statistically, number of starts, quality performances. They may not have the highest ceiling. Drew Aller might have the highest ceiling. Lenora Sellers might have the highest ceiling. But if I'm listening to this and those experts, it mirrors my opinion that if I'm going to put my rankings out right now, I'm going with the two guys at the top of the pecking order that I know have done it and can do it. And that is Klubnik and that is Nussmeier. Aller's done it in spots. I'm not going to go trash him because he plays at Penn State. He's really talented. The other thing I look at, too, is Clemson and LSU have produced starting caliber NFL quarterbacks, franchise quarterbacks. When's the last time Penn State produced a franchise quarterback?
Kerry Collins?
Probably.
Yeah. And was he even a franchise guy?
And I know people say it doesn't matter, different coach. Oh, it matters. It matters. South Carolina, the coaching, the style of play, like, Klubnik and Nussmeier, to me, are safe picks. That could very well get flipped on its head if Sellers or Aller goes out and just kills it. I saw Mendoza play for Cal. He's good.
Yeah.
I'd put him five, maybe five on that list. But I like it. I think it's safe.
I like it right now because, I mean, we put this together of like, all right, this college football season is going to be exciting just because for Pittsburgh Steelers fans because you can pay attention to all these guys. And there's so much room to change. And, like, these lists are going to change more than probably ever in the last at least 5 years. Week to week, they'll change of who's going to be the top guy, who's not, who's going to, enter the discussion, who's going to enter the chat, who's going to leave the chat. Like, there's going to be guys that we're not even talking about right now that will creep up into the top 10, top 8, top 6 that will be like, okay, like, this guy now is a possibility. So the reason why I can't really name somebody right now, and I'm not gonna just anoint Arch Manning. Like I will say that.
No,
that's the one thing I will say. I'm not gonna anoint him. He probably is like fifth for me right now because I haven't seen him do anything. I mean Quinn Ewers was a seventh round pick. Couldn't beat him out. He only would go in there and run the football.
And he was making a ton of money.
But it's subject to change almost probably week to week. That I can't even say who number one, number two, number three, number four, number five is. But I like where Pat's thinking. Like, if I were to do that, it would be the proven players. And mine would be Drew Aller at this point.
If you had to draft tomorrow.
If I had to draft tomorrow, I'd draft Drew Aller.
Yeah. Here are other guys mentioned. I mean, you guys touched on a lot of the names. Klubnik, Aller, Lenora Sellers, Sam Levitt at ASU, yep. Nussmeier at LSU. Carson Beck, who I just don't believe in Miami, and then Manning. I think the Manning not being able to beat out, what's his face?
Quinn Ewers.
Quinn Ewers, thank you, I think that's actually a big deal. You've got that guy sitting on your bench, and I know they folded him in at times. They really struggled to beat Arizona State, arguably shouldn't have won that game. They're contending for a national championship, and at times he looked like a weak link, and they still didn't go to Manning. We're talking about...
Yeah.
Fighting for immortality there. College football national champion, and they don't play him over the other guy.
Yeah, I mean...
That tells me a lot.
That it doesn't tell me he won't be a great player.
Sure.
It does prevent me from putting him
near
the top of this draft board right now. The benefit of the doubt that I'll give him is I honestly believe, A, the talent they have at Texas is top five. And I think Steve Sarkisian's one of the most brilliant offensive minds in the game, period. Pro and college. He's excellent. The stuff they run, guys are going to get open.
Yeah.
They're just going to have guys. They got really good players, and they scheme it up. That is a hell of a combination for a quarterback to have. So he's going to have plenty of opportunity to just skyrocket up this board. If I'm him, I love the – if I'm Texas, if I'm Steve Sarkisian, if I'm Arch's dad, I'm like, this is perfect. That he's not even in the top five on this list. That's great because I can just go out and play. And if he goes out and plays well, the talent around him is going to be like Burrow at LSU.
And they're smart enough, and Arch did this before. If he's not consensus among the top three, he'll go back to college.
Yep.
He'll definitely go back to college. If he's not thought of as the guy,
mm-hmm.
or if they don't like the potential destination, if he's the guy,
he'll go to Tennessee.
Wink, nudge, nudge.
He'll go to Tennessee Volunteers and transfer to Tennessee, 100%. If he were to go back to college, say he has a good year, I think he would transfer to Tennessee.
Ooh.
That would be juicy.
Ooh.
I think he would.
That'd be juicy. Klubnik, though, to go back to the original root of the question, I mean, all that you've seen these past couple years, whether it's Bo Nix or, you know, last year, is guys that have played a lot and have been consistent and gotten better and better and better. Because all we're seeing, think about it, you're in a room, you're evaluating quarterbacks, and you're looking at a guy that's played at three schools in three different systems that has left for whatever reason. You're trying to see a development curve. It's hard to assess and evaluate when you're at a different place every year. And Klubnik is not. Nussmeier's been at the same spot. And I think, I'm being a little bit of a granddaddy here, but like, hey, the level of commitment to an organization, too, that you want from your franchise quarterback, that when things get tough, they're going to stick through it. And Joe Burrow's, he transferred before it was in vogue. And he transferred because he was buried on the depth chart. But you're going to chase a bag to go play somewhere else. Darian Mensah, go on down the list. I'm going to give the benefit of the doubt. The guy stuck it out. Probably, I mean, how much money could Cade Klubnik have gotten if he went in the portal?
A whole lot.
I'm sure he's getting paid well at Clemson.
Sure.
Don't get me wrong. But I guarantee you there's schools that could pay more. Same with Garrett Nussmeier. LSU is great. Tennessee can pay more.
Ty goes to the guy who's been committed, kind of.
And guess who needed a quarterback? Tennessee. And they would have taken either of those guys and paid him $10 million because they've proven they can do that. So I think that's part of it, too, in today's world.
Eli Holstein's got the size, arm strength, ability to move that I think if he has a great year, he could play himself into a conversation.
I agree. He's got to play well. He's got to play consistent.
Of course.
He's got to play well, and he's got to play consistent. But all the measurables are there for sure.
When we come back, I got something else college football related for you guys. And it's fun. We're not talking NIL. We're not talking about $20.5 million being paid to athletes. We're talking about fun stuff because it's a Thursday in the summertime. Hey, I just met you. So this was played a lot at your wedding, Pat?
At the Bostic wedding. It was a lot. A lot.
13 years. You guys are high school sweethearts, right?
Yeah. We've been together since we were 14. So.
Wow. He beat me.
Yep. 22 years.
My wife was 18. I was 17. Shh. Don't tell. When we started up.
14.
Yeah.
Middle school.
Going into freshman year. Yeah.
So that's like hand-holding. All that.
Yeah. Writing notes.
Necking.
No notes.
No notes? You didn't write notes? We're talking about that yesterday. Wrote notes.
Yeah, more like aim.
Oh, yeah.
Internet?
Did you put like the lesser than sign with a 3 in her name?
Yeah, that's how it started.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't have a homecoming date, and I did, but then decided to go with her.
You should have asked her when you asked her to marry her. Will you be my homecoming date?
Do you
for
think
life?
If you didn't go with her that you guys would be together? Wouldn't be together or would be together?
Well, we hung out that night and probably not.
Wow.
It just...
You had a date.
I was at a buddy of mine who lived down the street. Yeah.
You had a date, decided to go with your Sam. Wife, Sam.
Yeah. We went to her house and then...
What'd you tell the date?
I forget how that one landed. It did not go well. it did not go well. But she's now doing great and we weren't like a thing. That girl and we were just... It was just
going to go.
Yeah, it was kind of going to go. We were freshmen, so it was like you had to have a date. a month in advance of the deal. So, yeah, that's how it worked out.
Wow.
Are we making you uncomfortable?
No. I'm very comfortable.
50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township. What's 13th anniversary? There's something?
No. Try not to. Just try to get through the day. We have a baseball tournament this weekend. We just like, I don't know, you probably guys just like look at each other and like, when was the last time we just hung out and weren't going crazy? Like 38 different directions.
Doesn't
like,
exist.
Hey, good to see you. See you again in 24 hours. We'll just be ships passing.
Yep, ships, yep.
Pat, I don't mean to tell you how to get it done here, buddy, but says traditionally the 13-year anniversary, lace.
Jeez.
Buy yourself a thong. Nice lacy one.
If Pat walked in a room with a thong on, like just, if I was just like sitting in like the locker room and he walked in with a thong on, I probably would like pass out and die.
Wow.
I probably would just like faint.
Jeez.
I'd faint.
Didn't Gardner Minshew do stuff like that all the time?
There's always one player that does stuff like
Chris
that.
Chris Jacobson?
Yes. He would do stuff
Lumpy.
Like that.
Lumpy.
Why'd you call him Lumpy?
That's his nickname.
Lump. Lumpidermis.
I was able to ascertain that from the given information.
Tony
His
Wise
parents
was,
didn't call him
Tony
Lumpy.
Tony Wise was at practice last week. I think we talked about this last week, but he is just, Lumpy, how are you? How you doing?
Yeah, how you doing?
Yeah. Yeah. He does it all. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You know whose voice doesn't match their body? And I'm not
Dom.
An avid enough, correct, but I'm not an avid enough fan to have known this until right after the event. JJ Spahn.
Oh.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Beard.
Definitely.
Like, bigger guy.
Good call.
And he was like, it was a good time. Oakmont, such a difficult golf course.
I hit it perfect speed.
Yeah.
64-foot putt. Yeah. I made it and just kind of blacked out.
Hey, it's me, Mickey Mouse. Catch Moana 3 in theaters December.
Fan weather's brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. Partly sunny today. Chance of thunderstorms this afternoon. High of 87. We're making some progress here. Cooling things down a little bit. It was like 84 last night. Felt great. I said we talked about college football in a fun way. And we will do that coming up next. Plus, Mark Caboli spitting hot Steelers takes. There's two of them we got from Starkey's show yesterday. We will play them. We will react to them at some point during this 8 o'clock hour. It's the Fan Morning Show.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.